Welcome to The Word in 10, a devotional from Dwell Community Church. Scott Risley here with a short word on the life of John Mark. John Mark is an interesting guy who appears several times throughout the New Testament. His name first appears in a book title as the author of the Gospel according to Mark. Some have wondered, what gives Mark the authority to write a book of the Bible? He wasn't an apostle, and as far as we know, he did not travel with Jesus throughout his ministry. Jesus said you had to be an apostle to write scripture. So what gives Mark the right to tell us about Jesus? The reason is because the one who stands behind the Gospel of Mark, giving it all the credibility we could want, is none other than the leader of the apostolic band, Mr. Simon Peter himself. We have many early sources, such as the church father Irenaeus, who wrote this in the late 100s, that Mark, the disciple and interpreter of Peter, also himself committed to us, inscripturated the things being preached by Peter. And not only was Mark's source authoritative, but he wrote at an early date, quite close to the events that he describes. Many scholars date Mark's gospel in the early 50s AD, some put it even earlier. It became a primary source for two of the other gospels. One commentator points out that over 97% of Mark's material has a parallel in Matthew, and that 40% of Mark was copied straight into Matthew without any changes. Mark had a big impact in the early church, which might leave some of us wondering, who was this Mark fellow who worked with Peter to record this gospel? Well, there's evidence within Mark's gospel that Mark did have some firsthand witness of Jesus. On the night of Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark records this strange little episode, one of only four short passages in his gospel without any parallel in the others. He writes in Mark 14, verse 50, that on that night, all his disciples deserted him and ran away. And a young man was following Jesus, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped, naked. Even though this young man is not identified, many scholars agree this is Mark. Otherwise, why would he insert this seemingly irrelevant detail at such a serious point in the story? We later learn that Mark's family had some wealth and lived in Jerusalem. Acts 12 tells us his mother owned a big house in Jerusalem where they used to host prayer meetings. And on the night of Jesus' arrest, not only was Mark near Jerusalem, he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, following behind. He apparently left the house in a hurry, considering he was wearing only a linen sheet. I've honestly never been in that big of a hurry, but maybe things were different back then. Mark saw the disciples gathered around Jesus. Mark saw the betrayal by Judas. He saw the soldiers seize Jesus, Peter's heroic swordsmanship. He saw the disciples flee, leaving only young Mark standing there on the edge of the stage, the only follower of Jesus left. The soldiers turned and grabbed him too, leaving Mark with a decision. Do I stand with Jesus? Or do I run? Mark decided to run. He slipped out of his expensive linen sheet and fled naked through the Garden of Gethsemane, the only true streaker in all of Scripture, as far as I know. But Mark, like the rest of the disciples, got another chance. His family's house became an important gathering place in Jerusalem for the early church. His cousin was a man named Barnabas, who also came from some wealth back on the island of Cyprus. God raised up Barnabas as a powerful and generous Christian leader, a man known as the Son of Encouragement. Barnabas played a key role in the spiritual growth of the Apostle Paul. And Mark got the opportunity to go along with Paul and Barnabas as a helper on the first missionary journey. He was part of the dream team, everybody's favorite missionary band, Paul and Barnabas. But halfway through the first missionary journey, when things got hard, once again, Mark turned and ran. Acts 13:13, Mark deserted them and returned to Jerusalem. He left a great opportunity. He left Paul and Barnabas high and dry, and everybody knew about it. What did he say when he showed up back in Jerusalem alone? Hey, Mark, what are you doing back so soon?
I quit. And now Barnabas and Paul aren't real happy with me.
But then, like so often with the God of grace, Mark got yet another chance. In Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas prepare to go out on a second missionary journey. We read in 15:36, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Paul and Barnabas were not in agreement about this, and it tells us that their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. So not only did Mark flee on the night of Jesus' arrest, not only did he flee in the thick of the first missionary journey, Mark splits up the dream team, everybody's favorite missionary band. He was like the Yoko Ono of the early Christian church, and everyone knew about it. When they got to Cyprus, Mark must have felt so embarrassed. Here, he wanted to be used by God, and he'd blown his chance in a manner that couldn't have been any more public or embarrassing. Perhaps he thought it was time to give up whatever big dreams he had of making an impact for Jesus. But that's the point when Mark was finally in a spot where God really began to use him. Mark, at this point, apparently began to work closely with Peter, who was no stranger to collapsing in public, obvious ways. And by the time Paul was back from his second missionary journey, most scholars think Mark and Peter had already finished their gospel. His relationship with Peter continued to grow to the point where at the end of 1 Peter, a few years later, Peter calls him affectionately, "My son, Mark." And at some point, Mark must have not only reconciled with Paul, but regained Paul's trust. We know this because some of Paul's last words at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to Timothy, "Timothy, could you pick up Mark and bring him with you? For he is useful to me for service." What a difference some failure plus God's grace plus time can make. Perhaps some of you feel like Mark. You've failed in a way that feels very public. Perhaps you've done it multiple times. It's humiliating. There's been negative consequences. You feel like people you respect can't count on you. You might be thinking of giving up altogether. May I remind you that Acts 15 wasn't the last chapter in Mark's life? It was only the next chapter, the doorway into a much greater part in God's plan than Mark could have imagined. So the next time you look at the Gospel of Mark, remember, it was written by Peter and Mark, two guys who failed, two guys who wouldn't have made the cut under man-made religion, but who thrived and flourished under grace.